Hi, and welcome to the Feed the Pig podcast. I'm your host, Tim Farrell. Money shouldn't drive your future, but neither should debt. It's time for you to take control, not just for today, but for your whole life. Remember, small changes add up. The Feed the Pig podcast is here to help you take steps to start saving for today, so you'll have a solid financial future tomorrow. Here on episode 9, we're going to talk about managing your credit card debt so it doesn't manage you. All right, welcome again to the Feed the Pig podcast, and we're going to talk a little bit about managing your credit cards. Holy cats, sometimes that can seem like the most daunting of processes, and everybody seems to have a different approach towards it. Joining me today is Leslie. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, how are you?
Leslie, you've got some credit cards, right?
A bunch.
Do you have a lot on your credit cards?
They're almost maxed out.
Like, how much are we talking?
About like 15.
15,000?
Yes.
Oh. All right, we're gonna figure out ways to help you with this. Also joining us is Mark Minker. He's a CPA from New York City. And Mark, thanks again, as always, for joining us.
All right, nice to be here, Tim. Leslie, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
All right.
All right. So you have multiple credit cards. How many are we talking about?
About 4.
Okay. And are some of those store, or are they all like Visas, MasterCards, that sort of
thing? 2 are stores, and the rest are regular credit cards.
You have 15. That seems like a lot. How about what's your way of handling it? Do you do more than the minimum each month? Do you hit each one with the minimum? Do you do some where you do more, or how are you handling the paying it off each month?
I try to do a little bit more than the minimum.
And by a little bit more, meaning like what?
$10.
Like $10. Okay. And so you do that on each one of them.
Yes.
How about, do you ever miss a payment?
Just when it's sometimes.
I'm sorry?
There's been some times where I've missed a payment.
Yeah, I know. I don't tend to carry too much on my credit cards. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, I will, just a small amount. But I probably my biggest sin is not getting the, you know, buying something on my credit card, and then life gets in the way, and I don't pay that bill, and I end up getting zapped with an extra charge on top of what I bought. Even though I had the money to pay it, it's just that I'm not so good at taking care of my paperwork. Mark, you know, based on what Leslie's telling us, Where do we start?
I'm running for the hills. I'm just teasing. You know, this is a daunting issue, Leslie. And you know, at the very least, I think you have to, number one, recognize that, you know, you're unfortunately in a group of a very large number of people. You know, credit cards are extremely enticing. I think that, you know, without understanding sometimes what people are getting into, they get into some pretty deep waters. It sounds like you have in having such a tremendous amount of outstanding balance. But you know what? I think, as Tim was, I think, starting to allude to, there are some techniques and some ways that you really can start to make a dent in this thing and ultimately get it under control. And that's probably the most important aspect, is to have this thing under control. So the first thing, quite honestly, that I would do is I would cut up 3 of the 4 cards. Now, we keep one because you got to have some credit, and you got to have it obviously for emergency purposes and stuff, but you cannot use it to fund your lifestyle. The other thing that is extremely important, you may or may not recognize this, is that those cards are extremely expensive to carry debt on, meaning that, you know, you're probably paying anywhere from a low of, I'm going to guess, maybe 12% to maybe as high as 22% interest on those credit card balances that you're carrying every month. So you'll see over time that those balances are going to start to increase, even though you're making the monthly minimum payments. You know, one way of starting to get this thing under control is I'd look at the 4 cards, and you know, the balances, are they all about even, or does one have a lot on it and the other, you know, 3 maybe don't have so much on them?
About 2 have the bulk.
So what I would do is I'd focus, first of all, making sure that you're keeping current on the 2 that have the bulk, at least to keep yourself in good standing from a credit perspective with those 2 carriers. And I'd really start trying to, you know, eke away at paying off those 2 smaller ones as quickly as possible. And I don't know what the minimum payment numbers are, but, you know, if it's, let's say, a $25 monthly payment and there's a $500 balance on that, you may want to, instead of making an extra $10 or $15 a month, perhaps make an extra $50 a month payment or $65 a month payment, if you can swing it, to start to bring that balance down a lot more, you know, a lot quicker. so that you're able to get that thing knocked out and out of the way and try to start to, you know, ultimately be able to steer some additional money into those other two higher balance cards as those smaller ones get paid off and then get put away.
Do you recommend balance transfers?
Yeah, you know, it can be a very viable technique, but all it really is doing is deferring until a later point in time, ultimately, the pain that one's going to have. I think that utilizing a balance transfer to a low or no interest situation, which usually will last anywhere from 6 months to a year, could be a very effective way to help you get that under control. You know, if you were to be able to transfer $10,000 or $15,000 of all these balances to a low or no interest, new card, and then really start paying off big chunks of that over the coming 6 months or 12 months, you could really save yourself a ton of money. And so it can be a viable technique. The important thing, though, is if and when you do that, when you get the new card, don't start charging on that new card as well, because you'll just wind up putting yourself back in the same hole that you just dug yourself out of.
Let me ask you a credit history question based on that. When you cut up the physical card, but you don't necessarily close the account. Say you have the, whatever it is, $4,000, and you transfer it to a card that has 0% financing for the first year.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with that old account? Do you maintain it, or do you close it?
I would close it out. Definitely close it out, because if it's open, then it's going to be counted as available credit on your credit report and on your FICO score, and as a result, it will ultimately have the impact of reducing your overall credit, history in your credit reporting in a negative way. So as soon as you have it transferred over and there's a zero balance in there, you should write a letter to the issuer or call them on the 800 number, which is on the back of the card, and tell them you'd like to close the account. They're going to fight you and say, well, why do you want to close it? And we'll give you this, and we'll send you a new color television, and we'll give you all kinds of crazy stuff. You have to kind of stick to your guns and say, I just don't need the credit anymore. I appreciate the offer, but, thank you very much. I'd really like that account closed out. And then they will close it, and it'll not show up on your credit report going forward.
The other thing you should be, or I'm aware of, because I make this mistake, if you miss a payment on one of those new promotional cards, they can really zap you.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good point. If you do miss a payment on any card, at all, but especially in the context of a zero or a low interest rate, there's usually a provision in there that says if you miss any of the payments, guess what? That 0% or that low interest rate is gone, and now you're back into the 12.9 or 22.4% factor again.
I received a copy of my credit report a couple of weeks ago, and I know that my credit score dropped about 100 points, and they told me it was because of my FICO score. Now, how does my FICO score affect my credit score?
Well, your FICO score is essentially your credit score now, and it's impacted and affected by a number of different things, including your payment history, whether you're making payments on time or not, whether you're missing payments, if the payments are minimum payments or more than minimum payments, total available credit that's, open to you. So if you've got, 10 cards and each card has a $2,500 maximum, the credit industry looks at that as $25,000 of available credit. If you've got a job and you're making $35,000 or $40,000, that's, proportionately a lot of credit to have for that level of income. So as a result, your credit score, your FICO score would be much lower.
And long term, what are the implications of the lower score?
Well, the lower the FICO score, the higher the interest rate a mortgagor or any other credit issuer is generally going to charge you. I mean, if you at some point go to buy a home and you apply for a mortgage, if you're not a good credit risk or a good, credit, consumer, the banks are generally going to say, well, gee, this person's got a very large credit limit. They've missed payments. The score is low. We can't give them our best rate because, this thing could go into default and then we're going to be out all of our money. So they, generally will charge a higher interest rate. The other issue, and I don't know if you've come across this yet, but, even from an employment perspective, for example, when we hire employees within my firm, one of the things we do is check their credit reports. If they have a bad credit report or they've got a low FICO score, not that it's going to be the determining factor, but it's certainly an issue that we look at in the overall scheme of a candidate as to whether or not that person would be a good employee for the particular business that we're in.
Wow, I never even thought of that. Holy cow. All right, so we're going to wrap up here. What's the one thing Leslie should be worrying about? Or what's the first action step for Leslie going forward, like today when we leave here?
Start a budget. Start looking at ways that you can start to bring those balances down fast and dramatically. Perhaps even restructure the way thing is put together and look at a lower or no interest rate transfer and, you know, start getting that thing put to bed.
Hey, thanks for listening to episode 9 of the Feed the Pig podcast. Next time on episode 10, we're going to talk about how to create a budget. I mean, do you know where all your money's going? Mark Minker is a CPA, PFS, that's Personal Financial Specialist, who works for Mahoney Cohen Family Office Services in New York City. And if you're looking for other ways to save, check out feedthepig.org, that's feedthepig.org, or if you have any questions for us, email us at feedthepig@gmail.com.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or feedthepig.org. It is provided with the understanding that AICPA and feedthepig.org are not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and feedthepig.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to and assume no responsibility for the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.